It's time to welcome the newest addition to the British royal family with Footnoting History. Hey everybody, this is Liz.
And Christine.
And we are here with a special edition podcast in celebration of the birth of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's first child. It isn't every day we get to witness the lengthening of history with a birth that ensures yet another generation of monarchs for Great Britain. In fact, with this birth today, we can say that three future monarchs are in line to eventually succeed Queen Elizabeth II.
I am so happy that this baby is finally here.
I know, it feels like it's been forever. I mean, not as long as Jessica Simpson, but quite a while.
Exactly.
So if there's one thing that Christine and I love, it's a royal birth.
That's right, and to be fair, we also love any excuse to discuss the British royals.
True that.
In fact, let's just disclose up front that both of us have followed the royals for the majority of our lives and have a deep affection for William and Kate and basically the entire family. So we're thrilled for them, and we wish them all the best.
I mean, as Americans, we're probably not supposed to say we're monarchists, but yeah, we kind of like them. We kind of like them.
We are. We are monarchists. It's true. Anglophiles to the core of our beings.
So what better way to celebrate this birth, and by the way, hope Kate and the baby are doing well, but
exactly.
What better way to celebrate this birth than with a bit of discussion about the history of royal baby names, and more specifically, the naming of children who will one day rule the country.
Especially Great Britain, right? I mean, that's who we're going to focus on here because they're the ones welcoming the baby, and it's only fair that we give them their shining moment.
Also, Christine and I mainly study Britain.
Yes.
So that's a big part of why we love them so much.
But you know what I do know?
Mm.
I do know that Queen Victoria was very vocal about her female descendants.
Yes.
She really thought that her name should be in every female descendant. So that would mean that any person born after the quote-unquote Victorian era of the royal line should have Victoria somewhere in their name. Now, some of them definitely don't. One that we do know is that Princess Eugenie, the daughter of
Prince Andrew and
Sarah Ferguson, her name is actually Eugenie Victoria. But
so they tried.
Yes, there are other ones who don't have that. So I guess you could say that even royals rebel. Because Victoria tried and, well, let's face it, no one listened.
And you would think after ruling a nation for, like, over half a century that they might have stuck with it. But no, they abandoned that. Yeah. So
I really like the name Victoria, so I would have been okay with there being another Victoria or two.
It's not a bad
up.
One. And if you keep it as one of the many middle names, because it's not like people just have one middle name. So it could have worked.
I know.
So as long as we're talking about Victoria and ruling in their own right, let's just throw out some of our popular names of Queens of England who have ruled. Elizabeth, of course, personal fave. I mean, let's not be shocked right there.
We have two of those.
Yes, we have Mary also, another two. We've got Anne, which that's my first name is actually Elizabeth Anne. So again, not going to argue on Anne. And personal fave, Matilda, because come on, Tildy.
I love Matilda too. You know, Matilda gets the short end of the stick because she was in the 12th century.
Yes.
And she was considered an empress because she had been an empress on the continent before she tried to come and claim the crown that her, well, let's call him her.
Yeah, how are we going to describe that one?
Her cousin, Stephen. We're not going to judge him. We're just going to say that she
We could judge him, but not here, not now. Actually, in a couple of seconds, we probably will when we get to names you probably wouldn't choose.
Right.
But
what happened was Matilda's father died and he had no legitimate male heirs. So he said, I'm leaving the crown to Matilda. And Matilda was not present at the time. And her cousin Stephen said, I'm a boy. I think you should give it to me. So a lot of times when you look at list of the kings and queens of England, Matilda either does not make the list or it's viewed as a time period of Stephen slash Matilda.
Matilda, yes.
Right. So even though we're including her, she might not necessarily be one that is listed everywhere, but don't forget her. And if you're ever looking for somebody to read about, look up Matilda and the anarchy of the 12th century.
And again, Tildy. One of the greatest nicknames ever.
I'd be okay with that one too.
Exactly. I love
Matilda.
Tildy.
You have to wonder, though, if it was a Matilda, would it be Queen Matilda the First Or would they make it Queen Matilda II and then posthumously acknowledge her as Queen in the beginning?
You know, I think if they're going to choose the name Matilda at all, they would make it the second. Because if you're going to go with that, then you would believe that they were at least trying to argue for legitimacy of the earlier Matilda.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that.
Exactly, because Stephen, not really a name you would consider, because you know what, Stephen? We are judging you.
We are.
History has judged you. We have judged you. Mm-hmm.
He's one of those few kings who never had a successor with the same name.
Yes, nobody wants to be Stephen II.
Similarly, there's only one John.
Yes, which John being one of the most popular names throughout all of history, you would think that there would be multiple Johns, but no. Because of John, brother of Richard the Lionheart, it's ruined for everyone.
I actually kind of like John the person. I'm one of the few people who do, but I can understand why there would not be another John unless you were trying to make some sort of statement about upholding the Magna Carta.
Yes, although I can see that. See, I like the idea that all of these names are statements. Yes, you can just name them after someone, but I like the idea of having a name that really says something. And if you choose a name that is not rechosen, is not a popular one, that appeals to me here. That works with me. And the fact that John is not a popular name. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think most Americans are probably most familiar, if you think about it, with the story of Robin Hood. Think back to the Disney cartoon with PJ sucking on his thumb. I mean, that's John. So that's why, for kings, the name is not seen as a positive at all. And yet, again, one of our most popular names, if you're non-royalty.
Absolutely.
We also have, of course, Eustace, which is just fun to say. But again, not really somebody you want to name your son after if you're hoping him to be king England one day.
He was supposed to be, though. After Stephen took the throne from Matilda, his son, in theory, should have inherited it. His son was named Eustace. So he's one of those sons who could have been king but died before his father and never made it. So you could have been living in a world where there had been King Eustace.
Heck, there could have been King Eustace IV by now. Who knows?
That's true. Let's just, before we move on, let's just for a moment take a pause and just go through the most popular names for English kings. Because remember, when you're in the royal family and you are the heir yourself and you're having a baby, you're not just having a baby.
No.
You're having a potential monarch. So you have to give a lot of thought to these things. And I would say, what's the most popular name? We have 8 Edwards.
Edward is extremely popular. Yes. Henry, Charles. But you know what? Here's the thing, and I was just thinking this. Henry, because of Henry VIII, I think people aren't going to go with that name because it's kind of, how do you top Henry VIII? And do you want to top
Henry
VIII?
Well, there was no Henry after Henry
VIII. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So I can't see a modern British monarch choosing Henry.
The popularity, I think the longest length of popularity for a name is Edward.
Because Edward the Confessor all the way until Edward VIII?
Yes. Edward VIII is the one who abdicated for Wallace Simpson. So you're going from pre-1066.
All the way to the 1920s and 30s,
So that's, I think, the most enduring name. Henry was very popular. I mean, the first...
Oh, totally popular.
The first Henry was the 11th, 12th century time.
I think Henry VIII ruined it for them.
He did. He became so synonymous with that name.
In the same way, and Christine and I are going to out ourselves as Ricardians, but in the same way that Richard III ruined Richard. Richard I, Lionheart, obviously popular. Everybody wants to be like him. Yay. Richard II, kind of a whiny brat. Nobody really wants to be like him, but didn't actually ruin the name because, dude, Richard.
And to be fair, how many people in the modern world even hear about him?
I know. And yet...
He's kind of forgotten, which he shouldn't be, but he is.
Yes. And so then, but then Richard III comes along, you know, and all of a sudden people are like, no, never. And yet Richard III's brother was Edward.
Yes, he was.
Henry VIII names his son Edward. I mean, so there, again, we have the name Edward just popping up everywhere.
Yeah, that's not a name that ever really got sullied. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? George, another popular name. Wasn't Queen Elizabeth's father George, so...
He was the last one, yes.
Yeah, so that could come back in.
Yeah, George doesn't come up, though, until later. So you kind of have, like, George takes over where Henry kind of leaves off.
Yes, yeah. Once that starts falling by the wayside. Charles... I mean, after the two Charleses,
There's only two Charleses, so that's not a lot.
But that's because it's the Revolution and the Civil War and...
Yes. So let's just go and say the most popular queen names have been Elizabeth
and Mary. Elizabeth by far. Yes, Elizabeth and Mary. And just because there haven't been a lot of queens. That's why it's so much...
There were queens. They just weren't ruling in their own right. So you
would have names so their names don't follow as long or...
Right. The names that pop up in there, you have your Eleanors, your Adelaides, your Catherines, your Isabels. You know, you even have a Berengaria in there. But because they were not the primary monarch,
right. You're not really focusing on that. We don't see it as a royal name. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I'm gonna let you ladies finish. But if I can make a little editorial comment, the reason that there are few naming trends among female British monarchs is that most British queens are not in fact British or English. Since the Norman invasion in 1066, so in the last 1,000 years, there have only been 5 monarchs who took English or British wives. There are 6 if you count the first wife of Henry I, but she was technically from Scotland, which was a separate kingdom from England. As for the other 5, the first was in the 15th century, with Edward IV, who married Elizabeth Woodville. The second was his brother, Richard III, who married his cousin Anne. Then 4 of Henry VIII's wives, so Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour, Catherine Howard, and Catherine Parr. And then we don't have another British queen until the 20th century, with George V and George VI. Okay, back to the podcast.
So let's recap right now.
Okay.
Top 2 names in frequency for kings.
Edward.
Edward and Henry. They both reach 8s.
Yes.
Top 2 for women so far. Mm-hmm. Mary and Elizabeth.
Women ruling in their own right. Mary and Elizabeth. Absolutely. Yes.
Despite the effort of Queen Victoria, who would pretty much like an entire line of Victorias 1 through 27, if that was up to her. But she tried, and there's still time.
Yes. It could happen. It could happen.
Really, because we're not that far after her in terms of female rulers. Mm. The only female ruler after her has been Queen Elizabeth II.
Right.
So there's still
although,
time.
Thanks to the change in the law.
Yes. Tell us about the change in the law.
Oh, well, the change in the law is just that before it was, you know, the son would inherit or if there was a male heir, but now either gender can inherit. Yeah. Because before it would have been the oldest boy would inherit the crown, but now it is just the oldest child inherits the crown. Which
really takes a
weight
off
was just done,
of,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, though, that must have taken a weight off of the Duchess of Cambridge's back.
Oh, definitely, because it's the whole heir and the spare.
Right, she could have spent her entire pregnancy going, if I have a boy the first time, I'm okay. If I have a girl the first time, everybody's going to be disappointed and waiting for me. But knowing that they're going to amend the law, that had to be somewhat relaxing to just know that whatever this child is going to be for the duration of her pregnancy, to look at herself and say, we're good, and it doesn't matter.
Thank goodness they changed it, because it was about time. It was good. All right, so we've kind of recapped the popular names. We've kind of discussed names you're probably not going to choose.
Right.
So let's just go over surnames, the last name.
Ooh, surnames.
Always, always tricky with these royals.
Yeah. The best thing about royals is that, you know, they don't need them. I mean, if somebody says to you, Prince Charles, do you ever really say Prince Charles who?
Yeah, you're like, I'm sorry, is that Prince Charles Mountbatten Windsor or is that the other one?
These aren't questions that people ask. But, you know, in the beginning of the English, now British, royalty, they didn't even have surnames. Surnames?
No, nobody had surnames.
Actually, yeah, no, there was no such thing as a surname. Your name was John. That was it.
Have a patronymic. You might be, you know, John's son. But yeah, you're not going to have an actual last name because that would have changed every generation.
Now, some could argue, even though it was not technically his last name, that Henry II chose his own name to affix to his first name because he liked to refer to himself as Henry Fitz Empress.
Yes.
Fitz meaning son of the Empress. So he was the son of the Empress Matilda. And because he was recognizing her struggle when he became king, or even before that, you would see him use Fitz Empress. But that did not mean that it was his last name. His children did not become Richard and John Fitz Empress.
Fitz Empress,
That was just a personal name, but it was tacked on to his first name. Yes. In fact, for a very long period of time, most royals and members of the nobility were just referred to, if you need a surname, as being from somewhere.
Yes.
So, say you were given a title that said you were the Duke of, I don't know, Suffolk.
Gloucester.
Gloucester. Gloucester, that's a good one.
I was
I like
Richard, Duke of Gloucester, is where
right,
I'm
exactly.
going yes.
Richard, Duke of Gloucester. You would be referred to as Gloucester. Gloucester. The same way that if your name is John Smith now, your friends might call you Smith. But right. Again, not actually your surname.
And surnames don't really become, they don't even come into, even for just regular people, until about the 12th century. And even Correct. Then, they're just your occupation. So, you know yes. what? Your last name's Miller. It's because you were a Miller. Anything like that occasionally would also be, you know, where did you live? Is your last name Underhill? Your family lived under a hill. But those only come in by the 12th century. And even then, again, the royals kind of were slower to embrace it because you don't need it.
So a lot of times when we talk now and we'll say something like Henry Tudor, the names that we give to the dynasty is that's considered the name of their house, not their legal surname, and not necessarily something that you would see on a legal document in the way that we would think of it now.
Although, if we're going to go with Tudor, because it's descended from Owen Tudor. Yes. And so that was in the Chronicles. For example, if you've listened to my Lambert, Simnel, Perkin, Warbeck, I quote where they talk about Owen Tudor of low birth. Yes. So that was a name, and that does become the house name. But that's the only reason why he would have had an actual last name.
Right. He rose up.
Yes, and which is why he's Owen Tudor of low birth, and they mock Henry VII for his father. So, again, there aren't last names, but nobles don't really need them. It's kind of like Cher. We right. all know who
however,
Cher is.
However, that did change.
Yes, in the early 20th century, we finally get an official royal surname, just in time, though, for the outbreak of World War I, because we married through Germany. And so we get the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
Through the famous couple of Victoria and
Albert.
Albert.
Oh, Victoria, you tried so hard, and yet we pretty much knock out all of your names. Because World War I breaks out, anti-German sentiment is high, and George V decides that, you know what, we're just going to call ourselves the Windsors. And that is, of course, what we know them as to this day.
So if there had not been anti-German sentiment in World War I, you could still be using the Germanic last
right.
name. Because when
yes.
Victoria married Albert, mm-hmm. his dukedom provided the surname of the royal family, which, mm-hmm. despite them being British, meant that the British royal family now has a Germanic last name. Oops, that could be a problem. What can we call ourselves that makes us sound inherently British? Oh, look, there's a giant castle. So, no, Windsor Castle is not named for the royal family. The royal family is named for Windsor Castle. But things get further complicated, do they not?
It's never simple.
No, it's not, because, again, the wife takes the husband's name, right? So, what happens? Now we have Elizabeth Windsor.
The second, right.
Yeah, she's going to be Elizabeth II.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets married to Philip.
Philip Mountbatten.
Yes, I kind of love that name.
I know. It's kind of awesome.
Well, Mountbatten's interesting, actually, because Philip, we think of him now as British because he's married to the Queen and he's lived there for so long. But he's actually Prince Philip of Greece. And it wasn't until 1947, when he became naturalized as a British citizen, that he took the name of Mountbatten.
Right. So it's another thing where Windsor is not actually like a long-standing traditional name. Neither is Mountbatten. And yet, because of the fact that he took it and then he married Queen Elizabeth, she became Elizabeth Mountbatten Windsor.
Which the one thing to notice there is that the Queen's name actually goes last because she takes precedence over him.
See, now I'm feeling that I should have switched around how I hyphenated my name.
Oh, have so your name be
yeah, because I go Elizabeth Cohane Burbridge, and I should have right. maybe done Burbridge Cohane, so I could have taken precedent.
Right, but that's if you're looking at anybody in the royal family now, their surname, if you're filling out a legal paper, would be Mountbatten Windsor.
Yes. Well, I hope that everyone out there has enjoyed our walk down memory lane, if you will, of royal baby names.
We want to again extend our congratulations to the newly developing family mm-hmm. of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Again, hoping everyone is doing well, and we're very excited for them.
And we look forward to seeing the new little Mountbatten Windsor baby.
And good wishes for them and the baby.
This has been Footnoting History. If you like the podcast, be sure to visit our website, footnotinghistory.com, where you can find further information about upcoming podcasts. You can also like us on our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at History Footnote. And as always, remember, the best stories are always in the footnotes. See you next time.